Okay, let's look now at 8 Bible principles related to stress. And I think the first one will make a lot of sense after what we just said. Principle number 1 is don't ignore your body. So would you take your scripture handout now, the one that says on it scriptures for study, and look with me on page 1 at scripture section 1, and we're going to go down to lines 33 and 34. Scripture section 1 and go down to line 33. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him. Now, line 30 says this was a man who had been stripped and beaten by robbers. So line 33 says the Samaritan came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion and started to give him counseling to help him with the trauma. No, he came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. So the very first thing that had to be done to help this hurting man was we had to deal with his body right away because there were serious issues going on. So we see in many other places in the Bible, like in 1 Kings 19, we won't read that section, it's on page 4 in your book, but when the prophet Elijah wanted to die, one of the suicidal people in the Bible, God sent an angel to provide food and sleep. We see in Proverbs 12 and 14 and 17 at the bottom of page 4 that anxiety wears down your heart, that a heart at peace gives life, but envy rots, that a joyful heart is good medicine. All of those things indicate that stress and your body are closely connected. And this is exactly what the science indicates. Dr. Barbara Wexler, I think we must be on to page 5, top of page 5 in your notes. As an epidemiologist, I can attest that nearly every ailment we suffer from today is caused, triggered, or exacerbated by stress. And now, I've mentioned a couple of those things today. We're just not going to talk about that because you can find that information everywhere. It's so prominent. All the information about how stress is hurting you. But the point we really want to see is in the next quote there, your body registers stress long before your conscious mind does. We saw that in our middle of the night illustration, right? Your heart's pumping hard before you're even quite awake enough to figure out what's going on. That's why we want to pay attention to our bodies, because sometimes they clue us in a long time before we realize. You tense up, you feel butterflies in your stomach, you're unusually tired, you're binge eating or you're not eating, you can't sleep, you're grinding your teeth. There could be all kinds of ways that our bodies alert us to our stress. So first, we want to pay attention, and second, we want to care for our bodies. The Bible teaches that each person consists of both a material body and an immaterial soul, and both are important. It's not spiritual to neglect your body. It is not spiritual to brag about how much you're wearing yourself out and how you never sleep. So we want to pay attention. My point's not to talk about these things today, but we'll just mention them. You want to pay attention to your food. You know, that can go wrong in lots of ways. I told you earlier, 2/3 of people overeat when they're stressed and 1/3 undereat. Everybody drinks Monster Energy drinks and candy bars and whatever else is your comfort food. Not everybody, but you know what I'm saying. Those are great ways to increase your stress by playing with your body like that. We want to pay attention to our sleep. Psalm 4:8 says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." Now, I know that lots of things can complicate our sleep, lots of things that are out of our control. But there is a general principle that peaceful sleep is possible. And of course, studies show that poor sleepers sometimes have higher levels of stress hormones in their blood, and you can very easily get stuck in a nasty cycle of stress and sleep deprivation, which cause each other and turns into a really ugly downward spiral. So there are lots of resources about nurturing your sleep habits. I won't try to get into those, but realize that's a spiritual thing to do. God encourages us to see sleep as a gift from Him, not as an annoying interruption to all that we want to get done. And when you start to see sleep as a gift from God, you start to nurture it as something important that God intended for you, instead of watching TV till the very last second and then wondering why you can't get to sleep. Exercise, again, we won't spend time on that, but we all know that exercise has tremendous benefits, and some studies indicate that exercise lessens your stress responses to some things. And then I also put on here relaxation and breathing. Look at these two quotes from Dr. Archibald Hart. The primary and most successful method for adrenaline reduction is conscious physical relaxation. When you relax the body, the mind can't keep itself in a state of emergency. And then another place he says, of all the techniques available for counteracting stress and reducing the symptoms of distress, deliberate relaxation represents the most well-developed and thoroughly researched. Now, I realize that relaxation and breathing techniques have a poor reputation among Christians, and that's because sometimes they're associated with, Eastern religions or mysticism, or they're done in very godless ways that involve centering on yourself instead of anything that has to do with God. And so, of course, I reject those things. But the science indicates that if you work on relaxing and paying attention to your breathing, it helps your body in a lot of ways. And so that's not an unspiritual thing to do, and there are all kinds of resources to help you with some of that. But the overall principle here is that we should not ignore our body. It's an important part of our being, and there is nothing spiritual about neglecting your body. Nothing spiritual. It often gives us the first clues that we're stressed. Okay? Anything about that before we go on? All right. Principle number two, page 6. Live today. Look back at your scripture handout, and particularly, we're going to look now at the section that we're going to come back to over and over again today, and that is on page 1, the bottom of page 1, scripture section 2, and let's read this whole paragraph together. You see where we're at? Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Okay, we're going to look at this in many different ways today, but to begin with, in line 40, it says that Martha was distracted. And line 41 refers to, the end of line 41 refers to so many things. Does that line sound familiar to anybody? So many things. Here was this powerful moment when Jesus came into her home, but the poor lady had so many things to distract her. And that's life. So many things to distract us from the most important things that might be going on right in front of us. So first of all, you can only live in the present. But stress is frequently focused on yesterday or tomorrow. Look in your booklet in page 6. The words of Jesus from Matthew 6:34. "So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And the prophet Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So each day has its own trouble. So don't worry about tomorrow. And even more, the Lord's loving kindnesses and compassions are going to be new tomorrow. They're not going to run out. If you look back at your scripture handout, one more thing Jesus said. It's on page 4. And it's line 25. Page 4, number 25. Jesus asked, "And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan?" 3. Now, you might be quick to say, "Yeah, but I'm a planner, and there are things we got to do to get ready for tomorrow." I agree with you. The Bible encourages us to plan. And it especially tells us to pay close attention to eternity. That's the tomorrow that matters more than anything else. But more often, when you're stressed, you're not planning for tomorrow. You're just plain worrying about tomorrow. And it won't accomplish anything, except it will distract you from today's blessings. Or, if we think about the past, you might be stressing about what you did wrong in the past. You might be regretting the past. Anybody have the problem I have with replaying conversations to yourself over and over and over and over and over and over and over again when you wish you would have maybe said it differently, done it differently? What does that accomplish? Does it change the past when you run it through your mind 1,713 times in the middle of the night? You can't change the past by regretting it. You can't change the future by worrying about it. So live here today. And what's interesting is that the science is confirming how true this is. Dr. Robert Sapolsky, this quote's from him. You'll see a few more quotes from him. And you already met him. He was the hairy guy living with the baboons on the video. That's Dr. Sapolsky. He's an atheist who says that religion's a mental illness. So he's an interesting person to hear from. But that means it's especially interesting to me when he finds that scientific research just fits right with what God said all along. He said the stress response is a physiological system activated not only by all sorts of physical disasters, but by just thinking about them as well. You see what that means? Your body's stress response kicks into gear when you hear that noise in the middle of the night. But if you lay in bed and think about the possibility that a burglar might break into your house, your body's stress response will be very similar. Your brain doesn't know the difference between a real challenge and you worrying about a hypothetical challenge. It responds to both in an almost identical way. You lie in bed thinking about the possibility of a burglar, and your body is altering your cardiovascular system to get you ready for action, even though you're just thinking about the possibility. So you can cause damage to your heart simply by bringing tomorrow's stress into today. I recently saw an article called "You Can't Buy Manna at Costco." And I'm not going to read it to you from it, but that you can find the article there and a book there that I would recommend. But in the Bible, manna was this special provision from God for Israel when they were going through this very difficult time of trying to survive traveling through the wilderness. And manna was like a cookie. It's really good. You could only, though, gather enough of it for one day at a time. So the point is, you can't buy Costco-sized quantities of manna. You have to get God's strength and God's provision one day at a time. Jesus can free you from living in the regret of the past, and he tells you you can trust him with tomorrow, so live today. All right, take your application sheet now, your put-it-into-practice sheet. All right, and I just want you to note for each of your stressors, so we're going to go to part two. For each of your stressors, is that primarily about the past, the present, or the future? Just write it in the box in column two. You don't need to use both sides because we're just on part two. So if I'm part two, go down that column. For each of your key stressors, is that primarily, when you think about that, when you're stressed about that, is it about something right now in the moment? Is it about something that was in the past? Or is it you're thinking about what might go wrong tomorrow or how hard it's going to be or how you're not going to be able to do it? Or is it past or present or future oriented, your stress about that thing? Okay, so here's the thing. If we focus on the past or the future with our stress, we might just miss the present. And I like this line from top of page 7 in your handout. This line from this doctor at the Mayo Clinic. Memorable events fly by in mental non-attendance. Boy, that line just cuts me to the heart. I can't tell you how often that is true of my life. Some of the most important things in my life, and I'm just really not there. In our story in the Gospel of Luke, Martha missed the opportunity to sit at the feet of the mighty God and the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. And so I know it sounds like a fuzzy platitude, but I am so much helped by the simple reminder, slow down and enjoy today. Live today. I am a very forward-looking person. Those of you who know me well know that my memory is really crummy. I am no good at remembering what happened in the past. I am all about tomorrow. Here we go. But I have to be very, very careful to come slow down and enjoy these people, these situations, these circumstances that are from God today. Stop living your life ignoring today in the pursuit of a better tomorrow. Stop viewing today as a conduit to just get you tomorrow, to get you to tomorrow. Stop viewing today as a necessary evil that you have to get through in the hope that tomorrow will be better. You will never have another opportunity to enjoy today's blessings. Think about that with me. There are hard things. There are stressors today. But there will be stressors tomorrow too. And you will never have another opportunity to enjoy today's blessings. Even be willing to relax and slow down enough to laugh. You ever seen somebody in that kind of stress mode? I got work to do. I got stuff to get done. What are you laughing about? I'm grateful that I grew up in a home where even though my parents were very, very hardworking and always probably doing too much, they were not at all afraid to relax and laugh because the Bible says that a joyful heart is good medicine. You're not going to have a joyful heart if you don't slow down enough to enjoy today's blessings.